Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to another edition of Outside Looking In. Tuesday, April 14th, and this is the program that talks about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. It's Two-Way Talk Radio. My name is Bruce Negrin. Phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. If you got something on your mind that you want to talk about, that's what we're here for. I want to hear what you have to say, because guess what? For one of the few times in my life, I probably got nothing to say. I just got off of vacation. So I haven't been reading the paper much. I haven't been concerning myself into issues, because when I am on vacation, I'm one of the few, the proud, the people who believe in vacation, the people who put away their BlackBerry, the people who don't read the newspaper. Actually, I do still read the newspaper. I want to know what's going on. But I actually look at the sports first, trying to see what the New York Rangers were doing. That's right. Go Rangers. LGR, baby. But yeah, when I'm on vacation, I don't want to be bothered anymore. If I have someone covering for me, what's the point of me getting involved? Oh, I can handle this better. I'm in sales. What? It's not rocket science. No one needs to know. Give the guy a quote. Ask him if he needs anything else. Have him buy something. That's the way it is. Seriously, I mean, I was in Orlando, Florida, and enjoyed the heck out of myself. I had such a good vacation. It was the best vacation someone could have with a family. Do you know what I mean? It's like with kids. Let me put it, not with a family, but with kids who are six and seven right now. One's going to be eight soon, so back off. Don't think we've got the things going on too quickly. There's still a year and a half, a year and change, more than that between them, so back down with your thoughts. But anyway, we went down to Orlando. The kids loved it. I loved it. We had a good time. It was relaxing. And I'll tell you what was amazing. I didn't have a beer. So Friday, we were down there from Friday till whenever, and I didn't have a beer till Friday. I did have a smoothie. How you doing? That's something that I never, ever do. I never get a fruity drink. I never get some frozen daiquiri or margarita. But I was like, you know what? I'm at the pool. It's 86 degrees. I'm going to do it. Do it. Do it. Scotch soda. Do it now. But it was fun. It was fun. I missed the radio show. I missed what's going on in Montgomery County. But let me tell you what's going on in Montgomery County. Nothing. Nothing that I know of, except the free range people are back, the free range parenting. They really got to come to a conclusion on this particular thing. Did you hear the other day the free range parents who had been admonished, do not let your kids go free again without supervision, without being a helicopter parent. Don't let them walk home a mile from a park. 10 and 6, I believe, or 8 and 6. I'm not sure how old they are. I mean, the kids are young, but if it's their neighborhood, man, 40 years ago, I was doing the same thing. Mom didn't like it so much when we crossed Stratton Road, took our bikes over the two-lane road. She got mad when we went to Friendly's. But it's what you got to do. So what happens here? So the kids come back from a vacation or a long trip from Ithaca. The parents drop them off at this park, which is less than a half mile from their house. They come back, they're walking, and some concerned neighbor, calls the police and says there are two kids walking alone. They probably knew who they were, probably picking a fight with this family because they don't like what they're doing. How dare you free-range your kids? How dare you? How dare they breathe? How dare they? You don't do anything for them. And that's what it's like, man. That's exactly what it's like. So anyway, these free-range kids are walking home. They get a phone call. The police do. The police come to pick them up. Put them in the car. The kids are less than a third of a mile from home, and the police put them in the car saying that they'll drive them home, and they take them to child services. What the? Seriously, it's like, you know, the free-range parenting, it's like, I don't want it up in my face. I don't want anything up in my face. That's my whole gig. I don't want anybody telling me what's better than this than better than that. Just back off for a little bit. But still, I do agree with what they're talking about, with what they're doing. You know, I got a 7-year-old that's going on 8, and I got a 6-year-old who just turned 6. And I'm gonna put a watchful eye on them, but I cannot hover over them all the time. They want to ride their bike on the street or in my neighborhood, I'm gonna let them. I'm going to let them. They got to get a cut. They got to get a bruise. They got to understand. This is what's happened so much, is that people started protecting kids and started protecting themselves so much that they don't understand certain stuff shouldn't be done. Look what's happened with the advent of safety gear. Let's just move on a little bit, because I was just thinking about bike riding with helmets. All right, yeah, they do help. They do protect. If you're in traffic and you're going 35 miles per hour on one of those racing bikes or even on a mountain bike coming down a hill, wear your helmet. You know, but when I was a kid riding around on Surrey Drive in New Rochelle, I didn't wear a helmet. I don't wear a helmet now in some of these places. It's like, oh, you're stupid. Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But let me tell you also, when I was a kid, I didn't think I could ride the rails. I didn't take my bike and jump over 16 garbage cans. Unlike Larry and David Savage up the block. A bunch of crazy kids lived in my old neighborhood. I didn't like them at all. But they were crazy. They did just crazy stuff. And the best part was, every time they tried to jump these garbage cans, they literally tried to jump five or six garbage cans. And they put up the things. This was the time of Evel Knievel. So they were the crazy ones. Even Evel Knievel wore a helmet on this kind of stuff. But they would go out, and the best part about them is the sound effects. They're on Schwinn bikes and like, boom, 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 revving the handlebars. Going, boom, boom, boom. Like, oh, my God. The kids had problems, and everybody knew it, and they just showed themselves to have more problems. But then they would jump, and they'd crack on their head. So I was like, your turn, you do it. I ain't doing that, David. That's stupid. I just saw you crash on your head. I'm not jumping over 16 garbage cans. Why don't you do it again? And he did. And he did. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you fall off a bike, you understand. You don't jump over things. I mean, seriously, we talk about skateboarders. Why do skateboarders do stuff? Because they're all protected. Why do these kids try crazy stuff like running a rail, going down steps, or running a rail in the middle of steps? Because they're not afraid to get hurt anymore. Nobody's afraid to get hurt. People do things because they're not afraid to get hurt. Gives them a false bravado. I mean, just look at it. My favorite sport, hockey. Right, I watch the New York Rangers. They're blocking shots left and right. Why? Because they're not afraid anymore because the pads are too good. When I grew up playing, the pads weren't good enough to block shots. You know, it hurt. When something hurt, you didn't do it. But you got to give the kids bumps and bruises. You can't be there all the time with calamine lotion and aloe and all of this kind of stuff. Just let a cut heal. Throw some dirt on it. I know that's an old phrase, but I mean it. Throw some dirt on it. That's what I tell my kids now. Especially if they fall in the gym or something, they look to me, just rub some dirt on it, kiddo. You're all right. You're right, because they're waiting for you to say, oh, boo-boo, come here, boo-boo. And believe me, nobody loves their kids more than I do. I'm just with you. Maybe we all love them the same. I love them the same. But I'm going to teach them a little bit of something of what it used to be like, because everybody's gone soft, extremely soft. You know, team-building exercises, people don't even know how to work in a team anymore. Not keeping score, parents, you know, parents calling deans of colleges, telling them that you didn't do my child right. In college, 22 years old, 21 years old, 18 years old, it doesn't matter. Mom, pa, get out of the way. You're raising kids just to be your pets, not to be adults. You know, we're going to go run around the house right now. I'm not a macho guy. I'm not one of these, oh, man, man cave, football, I'm not like that. But I do believe I'm a man, and I want to raise my kids as men. So I'm starting. That's what we're going to start doing a little bit more. Be a man. Be a man. That's what we're going to tell them. Attaboy. Be a man. Way to go. You know, being a man doesn't mean breaking bottles over your head. Being a man means not crying at everything, not whining at everything, just trying to fight through, find a solution, find an answer by yourself. That's what being a man is. Stepping up when you have to, taking responsibility, listening to your parents. That's what it's about. Doing the right thing. How many people have forgotten to do the right thing? It's really easy. It's really easy. And I'm not saying that you have to bend over backwards nine different times. I'll give you an example. We're coming home from Orlando. Meanwhile, we'll talk about Interstate 95 in a minute. Boy, that Interstate 95 from Virginia down to Florida, especially through a couple states, is like a parking lot. But anyway, we're coming home. Stop at the traffic is so ridiculous. It says 70 on the speed sign. and we're stopped in traffic. Nothing more frustrating like that than that. So we get off the Dunkin' Donuts. The kids want something. Wife wants a coffee. She's driving. And so this one lady's like, we're just outside of Charleston or near Charleston. And she's like, are we in Georgia? No, we're in South Carolina. Should I turn around and go home? Is 95 going to be like this the whole way up? I don't know. Do you have a cell phone? I was like, she just kept asking questions. What do you think I should do? I don't know what you should do. Like, do you have a cell phone? She's like, how do I get out of here? I'm in South Carolina. I live in Maryland. You know, I used to live in New York. I could give you better directions in New York than I can to Maryland. How do I know? After a while, I was like, do you have a cell phone? Download an app called Waze or go to Google Maps. That'll help you, all right? That'll help you. I mean, I got frustrated because it was like questions. They say there's no such thing as stupid questions. Hell yeah, there are. Hell yeah. There's stupid questions. So I was just like, enough, lady. Leave me alone. So, okay, I'm the bad guy, right? I wasn't mean to her. But she's like, do you know which way to take the back road? I don't know. Oh, I was getting so frustrated. So she was really frustrating me. My wife takes her out takes the kids out to the car, and she's just like shaking her head. My wife is shaking her head too. But meanwhile, I'm leaving to go out of Dunkin' Donuts to go to the car, and an elderly lady's coming in. She's got a walker and stuff like this. She's halfway in the parking lot. I stood by that door for what, a minute? That's fine. I don't want to exaggerate, but probably for a minute. 45 seconds to a minute, holding that door open for that lady because she needed the help, all right? She was very grateful for it, et cetera. She said thank you and all this kind of stuff. But that's what I mean. I will be a nice guy. I will always be a nice guy. It's in my heart to be the nice guy to start. But after a while, it's like, come on now. You got to start thinking for yourself. What, were you coddled as a child? Were your parents always there? Let me call your parents. Give me a quarter. I'll call your parents. But speaking about bringing it back and being a man, my kids finally got to see. You know, we stayed at a resort down in Orlando. We really broke the bank. We sucked the marrow out of our vacation in Orlando. That was the phrase. We sucked the marrow out of our vacation. We went to Universal, Legoland. We went to SeaWorld. We went to the Space Center, the Kennedy Space Center, which is a fantastic trip because they have the Atlantis there, one of the space shuttles, and the way they display it is so much better than the Smithsonian up here. You know, they made it they built a whole wing for it, and it was really fun and interesting. I didn't think I'd learn that much. I really didn't, but between SeaWorld and the Kennedy Space Center, I got an education. I was happy. My kids did too, and that's what I look for. Yeah, but we always wanted, you know, fun. That's what we're looking for primarily. But getting an education for my kids and having them repeat some of the things back to me and say, Dad, I want to be an astronaut. You know, and this is the funny part. It's like my son Ryan, he's not kidding. He does want to be an astronaut. 2 years ago, my kids went old school in terms of Halloween costumes. One was a ghost. Literally, we got a sheet and cut out holes. He was a ghost. And my son Ryan wanted to be an astronaut. Where does that come from, right? He doesn't want to be a bumblebee or a transformer. He wants to be an astronaut. More power to you, young man. More power to you. And this, when we went here and he saw the space shuttle and he saw flight, he's like, I want to go to Mars. Because I know it's going to take 2 years, but it's worthwhile mission. Okay. I was like, I'm going to be proud and sad when you go, man. Proud and sad. But he rides his roller coasters, does what he has to do. He might be there. Decent at math. He might be there. Then we went to Cocoa Beach. Anybody know what Cocoa Beach is about? Major Tony Nelson had a big sign talking about I Dream of Jeannie. I haven't watched I Dream of Jeannie in such a long time. It's unbelievable. But then you go to the Kennedy Space Center and you see Chuck Yeager and Aldrin and all these astronauts and, you know, men, the right stuff. And then you think about Roger Healy. Roger Healy, astronaut. They must have been like, oh, really? This is how you have to portray us as a goofball astronaut with Major Bellows chasing me all the time? But I digress, and that's what we do here. That's why we love this program, Outside Looking In, because we digress, and this is Stream of Consciousness Radio. We've got open phone lines at 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. But the old school vacation continued because although we went to the resort, on the way down, we looked for the roadside hotels. We stayed at the roadside hotels, and that was awesome. Stopped at some Days Inn in Fancy Gap, Virginia, back on 81. This is when we were coming home. I mean, it was hardcore. We also stopped at a Howard Johnson's Inn. Hardcore. You know, the toothpaste. They don't give you toothpaste there. It's in, like, little packets. The kids got to see what 1973 was all about. They had Hank Williams and Elvis on the radio. It was awesome. It really was. It was just like a flashback for me. And to give this to your kids a little bit, you know, not to have them so spoiled all the time. Because the world is changing, and it's changed. You know, I told you, I became 48 years old or 47. I don't even know how old I am. It doesn't matter. I'm in my 40s, late 40s. One day I'll be 50. Who cares? But the world's changed so much, and I think I've crossed that line to be a curmudgeon. But I don't really want to be. But things, I guys now, it's better in the old days. And the old days ain't that long ago. I mean, I'm still amazed by the fax machine. I think I've mentioned that before. But the old, you know, the Holiday Inn, it's I'll tell you, talk about rebranding. The Holiday Inn, they've done a great job in terms of rebranding. You remember those old big green signs they used to have? That used to be vacation for me. Holiday Inn, Pop would take us into the car, drive out to the Holiday Inn. I don't even know where we were, but they had a pool. That's how great it was. I was just happy with a pool. Now these kids want a pool and water slides and waterfalls and all of this nonsense. You know, there's a better life everywhere, but it doesn't always have to be a better life when it's more complicated. Simplifying life, it can make a big, big difference. Just the little things. But the kids got to see these hotels, Fancy Gap, Virginia. They got to see Newmarket off the road, the Battle of the Civil War. We read the signs. We did the stuff that people used to do. Yeah, they played a couple video games in the back. It was a 17-hour ride. You know, how am I going to deny that much? But they were looking out the window. They were asking questions. We're playing games. Can you spot an A here? And I'll tell you what, the game that's lost on the road is Punch Buggy. You can't play Punch Buggy anymore. We had to play Punch RV. Boy, were there a ton of RVs. People all over the world driving RVs. 81, 77, 26, 95. Hike. People just traveling on RVs. But speaking about RVs, I don't understand what happens. Why are people such bad drivers? Seriously, there's certain things that need to be reconditioned in people when you're taking your driver's test at 16. If you are going just the speed limit, do it in the right lane. If you are going below the speed limit, do it in the right lane. If you have a tractor, if you are a car, not a tractor trailer, not one of these trucks pulling commerce around, but if you are carrying something in the back, if you have horses, do not ride in the left lane. If you are in a U-Haul carrying something in the back, do not ride in the left lane. You can pass in the left lane. It is the passing lane. I did more passing on the right-hand side, and I am not an aggressive driver by any means. By any means. But I was just, get out of the way. Get out of the way, because one person in a two-lane road can cause more traffic and more stoppages than you would ever know. And what's amazing about our interstate system is that it's outdated. Just drive. You know, people take so many airplanes that they don't realize that the interstate system is outdated. Two lanes don't cut it anymore. Not with as much commerce going up and down in terms of tractor-trailer drivers, and not in terms of 95 up and down arteries. Well, you know, maybe you went on spring break, Bruce. Yeah, I agree. I understand. Maybe I did go at the busiest time. But seriously, I mean, you go through some of these states like South Carolina and rural Virginia, Southern Virginia, two lanes. You could tell what states are doing well, what areas are doing well, because they have three lanes. All of South Carolina is two lanes. You get out right by the port of Savannah, bam, three lanes, right into Florida. And you know Florida's smart enough. I mean, they'll no income tax there, but they'll tax you left and right on these tolls and stuff like that. I felt like I was on the Garden State Parkway, for anybody who understands that. Every 20 feet, giving up $1.50. Program, but I got mad because they don't accept EasyPass. The whole United States accepts EasyPass. Florida has their own E-Pass. So instead of taking the easy way out, getting home and paying the toll, I don't mind. That's the whole thing. People don't mind paying tolls if you can get through quickly. If you can't get through quickly, it's a big pain in the neck. Pain in the neck. Sitting there with exact change. And Schmucko, you know, I sat there and blanked out for a sec. It said exact coins. I went up there with exact change. I was like, oh. Just opened myself up to my wife ridiculing me. You think you know everything, but you can't even see. You can't even read anymore. I don't get it. Why are you doing this? Ah, I want a divorce. It wasn't that bad at all. It wasn't that bad at all. But on this trip, I learned a lot of things. You know, I went to Universal Studios, the amusement park there. If you ever go down there, especially for a day, it's worth taking the plunge and buying those fast passes. I did not want to do it. I fought it tooth and nail. My wife was like, we should do it. You know, we're going to spend an hour and a half in every line there. We could get in with these fast passes. They were expensive, but boy, if you only got one day, do it. You know, I'll be paying for it for the next 3 months, but do it. Because something that was 100 minutes long, my son was even so happy. He's 100 minutes long, Dad. 100 minutes. Like, so what is that? He goes, that's an hour and a half plus 10 minutes. I was like, exactly. But anyway, you walk in there, you waltz in, seriously, and you're there in 5 minutes, you see the ride. It's like, talk about the class system. Between first class on airplanes and this fast pass, you got money, you have a better life. And it sucks, you know that? It sucks to me. You have money, you have a better life. Especially in places that where the common man is going, you know? I took advantage of it. I'm paying through the nose, I told you that, but I enjoyed it while I was doing it, but when you come back and think about it, it's just, we're talking about building a class system. It's there. Hey, sucker, you're just going to stand in line for 90 minutes? I'm just going right through. Ah, I'm the frog, see? When I say go, see? Top of the world, ma. But we're at Universal anyway. The science of amusement parks. The science. You know, you watch one of these shows on Discovery Channel or History Channel or whatever, and they show you what goes on behind the scenes, and it can drive you nuts. Seeing how everything is so computerized, seeing how everything is so automated, seeing how every data collection, everything. It's just, if you let yourself get away from it, you're like a walking billboard there, because in terms of, or a walking beacon, homing device. I'll get it at some point. But they could track all my movements in that park because of my fast pass. They could see where I was eating, where I was buying. It was just crazy, the science of it, even down to the point of where they would sit you. So one thing I did like, we went to some restaurant there at Universal, and it was a fast food joint, you know, chicken. It was Homer something from The Simpsons. So we said we got our food. They kept us in line, got our food, and when we came out, some lady walked us to a table. We didn't have to sit around and waste time. They opened up tables, they closed them. That was a good thing. But the science of amusement parks, it can just drive you nuts. If you know too much about something, you start thinking about it. And my knowledge is it doesn't even come from working there. It just comes from seeing something on Discovery or something like that. It was just it was bothering me. I said, gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. It's like I worked in the bar business for about 5 or 6 years. Owned a bar in Atlanta, Georgia, Lulu's Bait Shack. We all know the backstory. But now when I go into a bar, it bothers me. It's hard for me not to look around and see how we can improve something. You know, I had some tough owners. I was an owner as well, but as a minority owner, so I was also the manager, general manager. So I had to go out there and make sure everything was right. You know, and I knew what worked on certain nights and Friday at 1 in the morning. I knew what I was doing. But on certain times also, the bosses would come in, or, you know, the big owners would come in, and then they'd start running around. They didn't know the day-to-days of certain things, but I would listen to them because there was always wisdom in what was being said. And now it just drives me nuts when I go into, like, for case in point, there's this place in the Rio, what, Union Jacks it's called, right? I haven't been there in a while, but I was there in two times, I think, in the first couple weeks that it opened. And the bar is seven deep. You know, really, it was hard to get a drink. They had people working and they were trying and doing their best, but the bar was seven deep. You don't need to have people buying beer at the bar. Set up little beer stands around your place, just put them on ice, a tub on ice, and deal with straight cash. And that way you got people buying beer and you're doubling your profits, doubling your beer sales, if not more, and you're making everybody happier. You know, there's certain science to certain things that need to be done. Everybody has this idea, oh, I could just open it. Yeah, you really got to create a plan. You got to look at things. You got to get in there and understand what it's about. Feng shui and all of that kind of stuff, right? I mean, but you need a flow to a bar. You need to understand where people are going to be congregating, so you can't put the most popular spot there, or you got to move them around. You got to have that kind of stuff. You got to think about it. And once you do that, and once you understand what goes into something, it makes it difficult because, case in point, we were driving across this bridge on 81, and it was like the old railroad trestles, you know, like in the old days when they would gap one hill to the other, one side of the mountain to the other. And I was just thinking, man, I wasn't thinking in a destructive way, but I was thinking, how many years did it take them to build this? Knowing how long it takes to build something around here, or pretty much anywhere, how long? And it could just eat at you. It could gnaw at you. It's like, oh, stop thinking about this stuff. It's just ridiculous. So that was a good 27 minutes. How you doing? I'm doing good. Stream of Conscious Radio. Musings of a man in his basement. That's what's going on tonight. I know I got a couple people out there like Lenny Block. I got a friend, Lenny Block. I play hockey with him on Wednesday nights. He has this game called NOS. And it's just hockey at 8:15 on Wednesdays at Cabin John. Good bunch of guys, good bunch of people. But every time, he's a big radio nut, so I enjoy it. And I enjoy listening to him or talking to him. But he comes in, he's like, hey, you know what, Bruce? You were boring. I'm sure he's going to say that right now. Next time he sees me, he might even write me an email and say, hey, Bruce, you were boring. Yeah. He goes, I don't know that whole free-range chicken stuff. What were you talking about? Lenny, give me a call. We could change the subject. 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. The program is called Outside Looking In, and we're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. talking about issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. So my son comes home today from school, and my mother-in-law is watching him after school today. You know, she was helping us out. She's over at the house. And she goes, you know what today is, Ryan? And he's like, no. She goes, you know what happened in history today? What's significant? He's like, no, I don't. And my son normally knows a lot of things about this stuff. But she's like, Abe Lincoln was shot today. Shot at Ford's Theater, downtown Washington, D.C. And tomorrow he passed away. April 15th is when he died. Big deal? Of course it's a big deal. What are you kidding me? It's 150 years. It's the 150th celebration, or anniversary, excuse me, celebration if I'm John Wilkes Booth family, but the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's assassination. Do you think they make one mention of it in school? In a school that's just outside of Washington, D.C. by 19 miles? It would be a good throw, but I could probably reach Ford's Theater from my son's school. No, I couldn't. But anyway, you know, is Common Core so ridiculous? I understand that they're not second graders not watching or studying Lincoln right now, that you can't crash the whole program, the whole curriculum, and start talking about Lincoln. But why not? It's a significant anniversary. It's 150 years. There's people, horses, walking from the White House down Pennsylvania Avenue to the soldiers' home, recreating Lincoln's last steps. Ford's Theater is going to be open, giving tours all night from 12:30 to 5:30 in the morning. The street is probably going to be closed off, and they're going to have like one-on-ones, and it's a big deal. And with history, what's great about history is that you can reach out and touch it. But nobody makes mention of this. Maybe I'm going to give them a slide. If someone says it tomorrow, I'll understand it. But it is a big deal. It's American history, and we can't overlook it. Ah, you're making mountains out of molehills here, Bruce. Maybe I am. But the way I feel about it, especially in this area, it's right here. It's right here. It's a special year. July 4th, 1976. Could anybody get away from anything from the bicentennial? No, it's America's birthday. 200 years. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Big ships in New York Harbor. Fireworks everywhere. You know, everybody talks, we have a whole day for Lincoln. Why can't we commemorate something? Why can't it just be mentioned in the school? I'm not looking for a play. I'm not looking for Spanky and Alfalfa to go out there and sing a song. But I do think it should be mentioned, and I think it's a crime. I think it's a shame, because this is the kind of thing that we lose. People don't make a mention of it or a big deal of it, then we lose it. It's just Abe Lincoln. 150 years ago, which is not that far. Go to Europe one day and talk about the Romans or something. Places like Rome that had history back to the beginning of time, and they got buried and still came back. I mean, you could sit in a place where George Washington sat. You can ride the same trail that Lincoln walked. That's the appeal of history to me. Making it come to life, making it real. It's not about dates. It's really not about dates, but it's about significance of what happened. And, you know, we were talking 2 weeks ago, you know, with this Iran deal with Obama, you know, about Chamberlain, right? Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, or ignore history are doomed to repeat it. Peace in our time, peace in our time. Not going to get off on that tangent right now, though. I do think that something should be mentioned or something should be said tomorrow. So if Montgomery County schools are listening, the onus is on you, baby. It's on you. What else is going on here? I don't know. A lot of things, man. Big day tomorrow in the Negrin household. Ryan Negrin straps on the cleats, puts on the glove, goes out for baseball. He's playing baseball. It's baseball, Ray. People will come. Field of Dreams, The Natural. The Lou Gehrig story. The Bad News Bears. Baseball. What happened to it? How come no kids play baseball anymore? I got my son going on a team. He can't even get a team out of his own school. Nobody's playing baseball. We're all playing soccer. Soccer. Oh, you got to play soccer. Play soccer since you're, you know. It's, you know why people play soccer? Because it's the first thing you can put your kid into where he can run around like a crazy man and you don't worry about it. At kindergarten or preschool. Oh, I'm getting him ready. First of all, we're putting our kids into sports way too early. Ryan right now is 7 going on 8. That's when I started, second grade. That's when I started. That's when sports became something to me. He's on a team called the Cubs. He's on a team of people who are from Rachel Carson. I had to find a team of maybe one of his friends. One of his friends from school might be playing. Nobody's playing baseball from Jones Lang. Nobody. Everybody's playing soccer. You going to play baseball? No. We're going to play soccer. No, stop with the soccer. Enough with the soccer. American soccer sucks, by the way. Yeah, I watch the World Cup. I can root and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah, I get jingoistic. Go America, go America, USA, USA. But American soccer sucks because all we do is run up the field, we kick the ball far, and try to outrun people. That's the American way. You want to watch soccer, watch some South American soccer. Watch Argentina. Of course, you're going to say Messi or Maradona, but no, they keep the ball close. The thing is, soccer to the rest of the world is like basketball to the United States because kids are playing alone. They're playing in alleyways. They're doing this kind of stuff. They're being creative. U.S. soccer is not creative by any means. And we don't teach creativity anymore. We don't teach small games. We don't teach anything of that sort. And American soccer is kick the ball and run after it. And whoever's a bigger and stronger athlete is going to be a better soccer player. But when you get to people who are big, who are as big and strong as you and have a lot more talent, and know how to work a ball, then you're in trouble. But anyway, that I didn't want to even give a diatribe on American soccer. But my problem is, what happened to baseball? Where did it go? Where did it go? Can't field a team. Little League used to be the big deal, the very big deal. And what bothers me about soccer right now, too, is that soccer's trying to be a year-long sport. Enough of this year-long sport. Have your kids play other sports. Have them enjoy other things. Let them become more well-rounded. Everybody is so into specialization and so getting their kids ready for a single thing because they think they're going to get a scholarship or the kid's going to play pro. Guess what? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to a lot of us. It will happen to the few. It's not going to happen to the lot of us. And I'd rather have my kid out there. I want to expose him to a lot of things. He played soccer. He didn't like it. Wasn't very good at it, but he didn't like it. My son can hit a baseball. I want him to play baseball. There's two things I want him to play. You know how much I love hockey, but I want him to play baseball. And because it's someday he's going to be in a bar league, and he's going to be playing co-ed softball, and he's going to be enjoying it. And the second thing is I want him to play basketball, because when he's out there playing basketball, everybody plays 3-on-3. Everybody. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to Outside Looking In.
Hello, Bruce. This is Lenny from Olney calling.
How you doing?
First time, long time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had to get it out there before, because I'm not going to see you tomorrow. So I just wanted to know what the boring parts were, what the good parts are.
I appreciate the plug. My wife is now a listener of the show. She was sitting next to me, and she was listening to the soccer about kids playing soccer. She thinks that's the most widely played sport in Montgomery County.
It absolutely is. This is what I was saying. There's no season for it. It's a full year thing. Baseball season is the spring. That's the way I grew up. That's the way I expected it to be. But now they got soccer in the fall and the spring. Soccer was for the guys who didn't want to play football.
Is she still there?
Yeah.
No, I had to get away from the computer. I'm listening to both you and the computer, so I'm just talking to you now. So, good discussion on Florida. I remember those days, taking the kids also down to Disney World, Universal and all that.
Yeah, we stayed away from Disney this time. We figured, the kids know Mickey Mouse, but outside of that, it's like, let's go to the place and the things that they know. So, I didn't give my money to the Big Mouse.
Now, the Fast Pass, good thing as well. Good investment. Mm-hmm. I know it costs a lot, but we did that too.
So, Lenny, the key question here is we're going to have the hockey show soon. But I guess it was going to be after the playoffs, so after the playoffs start. So who are you pulling for? Are you in the Ranger camp or are you in the
Capitol? I'm a Rangers guy. I'm a Rangers fan. So you know that. I'm going to the game tomorrow. My son's coming in from California, a diehard Caps fan. He's coming in to see the Caps play. He's finished work, so he's got a couple of days. He's coming in, so we're going to the Caps game tomorrow night. But Rangers Thursday night, pulling for the Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a tough road, but we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully there are no trap games for them and see what happens.
I hope, yeah. They're always tough the first round. They're always tough. So, but now the show, good. You're on a roll back from vacation. We're listening. I'm looking at my email, right? And Linda, my wife Linda, now is listening, so I thought I got to call in.
No, Mr. Lenny Block, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling, and I'm glad you finally picked up the phone. No Capital game tonight, so
no Capitals game. Yeah, no Ranger game. So make sure we'll have to have the hockey show, right? We can do play by play of hockey. So all right,
exactly.
Let you go.
I'll let you know. Okay,
all
Lenny,
man,
thank
bye.
You for calling.
See you. Bye.
Lenny Block, the mastermind or the president. I'm not even sure what he is, but he's the head honcho of NOS Hockey, one of the greatest games I play in. Seriously, it's just fun. Everybody's there. We go out and have a good time. And it's about exercise and having a good time. It's the most relaxed game, but people want to win, but it's still relaxed, and it's fun. They run a good show there, and I was lucky enough to get into it. And it's one of these games where I can play for a long time, and I'm happy about that as well. But, you break a good sweat, especially on some nights. You get those February nights when people are on business or on vacation or whatever, and they were playing 7-on-7. I'll go out there. I'll do it. see how I feel in the morning. But the phone number here is for the program is the program's called Outside Looking In. And the reason is because I'm just getting used to being in the Maryland area. So I'm on the outside. I'm trying to look in, see what's going on, see the inner workings here. See what everybody's talking about. See how we can fix it. See how we can make it better. See what is good. I can tell you a couple things good. The most amazing thing about living in Maryland outside of New York, especially where I live now, like in the North Potomac area, is that I feel like I'm in the country. My goodness, man. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City. All right? I didn't grow up in the Bronx. I lived in the Bronx for like 3 years, so I have no real recollection of that. I know the window that I used to look at. And when I drive by the apartment building every once in a while, when I'm back up there, I know the apartment building. But I have no real recollection of the Bronx, New York City. And I was born in New York City, so were my kids. But I grew up in a town called New Rochelle. New Rochelle is a true suburb, but it was a, it's a minor city as, of itself. It was like the seventh largest city in New York State. So, I mean, it was a city. It was urban. But still the suburbs. You know, but to see a deer was like, oh, my God, we saw a deer. Oh, my God. To see a hawk fly every once in a while. We didn't see hawks till I was, I guess, about 20, you know. It's like I was home from college one time, and I called my brother. I was like, Eric, you won't believe this. There's a big hawk. There's a big hawk back there. It's a big, huge bird. Oh, it's going to take me. It's a pterodactyl. And the funny part, he's like, yeah. And then one time I was out of the house, and he gives me a call. He's like, Bruce, I saw the bird. It was awesome. It was huge. Exactly. But anyway, we had, you know, woods in our backyard. The highway was back there and stuff. But I'm around here. I went to Poolsville yesterday. Drove out to Poolsville. Why? I went to Tractor Supply. I wanted to see what that store was about. I had seen a couple on the way home on 81. And I said, let me go out to Tractor Supply and see what's going on. I went out there. This is crazy, by the way. This place is selling baby chicks and ducks only for agricultural use. I'm like, you can't cook a baby duck. Come on. But anyway, they were selling chicks and ducks. I mean, I almost walked out of there with six chicks, a peach tree, an apple tree, and some feed for a horse. And I don't even own a horse. It's crazy. But anyway, going out to Poolsville, but sometimes it's like if you want to just go and relax, you feel like you're in the country. I mean, obviously, this is all farms up to 1987. My house is, you know, my old house in New Rochelle was built in 1929. And someone talked about new construction. I thought this was new construction. It was built in 87. No. New construction's 2000. Oh, okay. Talking to a guy who lived in a house from 1929. Maybe Lincoln was shot there. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, like, I feel like I could go anywhere from here. Went to Harper's Ferry last year. You know, I only read about that in books. I knew about it with John Brown's Raid and Lee and Stonewall Jackson and the whole nine. Very big history show today. So don't be bored by that. But anyway, went out to Harper's Ferry, 45 minutes away from D.C. What? I didn't know that. Now we're out on 81 going to Winchester and Newmarket and some other places with the lakes and the mountains, the Blue Ridge. The Blue Ridge Mountains are right there. I'm in Williamsburg or Richmond or Frederick. Actually, I want to go to Fredericksburg as a Civil War buff. But, you know, it's just right there. Next week I'm going to, or a couple weeks, I'm going to South Carolina. It's 8 hours in a car. Ah, it's nothing. You know, once you drive to Florida, it's funny how things become relative. You know, it's all, put it all in perspective. We drove to Florida, we could go 8 hours. It's half the trip. We could do that. No problem. Bam. Going to have my mother-in-law in the car. It's her birthday and Mother's Day, so she's coming with us. That'll be interesting. So if there's no show the Tuesday after, it's because I'm in the loony bin. I'm in the hospital. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Sonny's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Could be. You never know. So Larry Hogan's having his budget wars. They passed the budget, or they came to the final draft of the budget in Annapolis. And I'll tell you, man, I'm a little tired of all of this kind of stuff because, you know, I say I'm a Republican. You know, I have... Socially, I'm more of a Democrat than I'm a Republican. I'm fiscally responsible, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. Bruce, we know. What are you telling me that's new? But boy, I mean, there's come certain times where I'm just tired of it all. The fighting and the partisanship is just ridiculous. I mean, you got to attack some things like deficits, right? You got to get rid of deficits, austerity, this, that. I don't want to pay more taxes. I really don't. Boy, I got hit with taxes, Maryland state taxes. You know, it's... County tax is lower, but the state, the income tax, it's ridiculous. It was pretty damn high. It was surprising. It was surprising that I owed the state of Maryland, or we as a family, owed the state of Maryland more than we did when we were in New York. It doesn't make sense to me. And the other thing that doesn't make sense to me is the tax preparation. The cost for tax prep around here is outrageous. It was two times more, and it was 2.5 times more than what I paid in New York. Well, because each sheet that he pulls down had another $100 or so. It's like, and then he gave me a discount. He goes, it was going to be $1,000 for tax preparation. What? And then, but he gave us a discount, so it got it down to about $650. Hey, and That was just shocking to me. Is that the way it is down here? Is it really $650 for taxes? Everyone, I'm telling you, man, go to somebody outside of the state. Make sure they know what they're talking about in terms of Maryland and go somewhere else because it's not going to be that much. I mean, that was a ripoff. I was mad. And the accountant, because we got suggested to an accountant, this guy Peter Martin, I'll say his name, because he was not, you know, for that kind of money, I expect to be offered water at least. He came in. First of all, he was disparaging to myself and my wife because we had a child care credit. He goes, but you work from home. Well, that's the point, Peter. We work from home. We're not taking care of our kids at home during the summer. We work from home. The key word, the operative word here is work. That's why I'm paying so much taxes. No, I just didn't like it. I didn't like him. I didn't like the way he, you know, it's about service, isn't it? Yeah, you're an accountant. You don't have to be the funniest guy on earth. I'm not looking for laughs. But I'm also not looking for you to insult us, especially for the money you're making. And again, damn it, give me some water, man. Give me some water. So I said something to him when I hung up the phone after I talked to him because he didn't even tell me the instructions of what to do. First of all, he's like, I told him we were going on vacation to mail it. You think he wrote that down? No. I had to call him from vacation. The one time I did use the phone to call him from vacation to say, he's like, so what do you want me to do with it? What do I want you to do with it? I want you to mail it to me. So when I get home, I can pay my taxes. I'm not going to be home till the 13th. And then in there, he didn't give us any instructions of what we had to send back to him or how to get it back to him. My other guy in New York, he'd put things like sign here, do this, do that. I mean, I guess you get spoiled with certain people. But this guy, I mean, for the money, it's like, now I understand why there's a TurboTax phenomenon. If that's what it is. And he says, if you could find anybody in a 20-mile radius who does it less for $670, then let me know. All right, I will. Let's go right back to the phones. Caller, welcome to Outside Looking In. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, this is Andy Dufresne. I do taxes for very cheap because, you know, I'm still in that far island with Morgan Freeman working on my boat.
Oh, yeah?
Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Bruce G!
Oh!
You know, I used to be an accountant. Goodness. Bruce, I was an accountant. I'm a CPA. I'll do your taxes for free. I'll come down to Maryland. We'll have some crab cakes, and I'll do your 1040 easy. Very easy. Very easy. No problem. You won't have to pay a dime.
Eric B., first of all, thank you for calling. It's great to hear you. Great to hear your voice. You know, it's like I'm surprised I'm doing the show. Normally I'm just on Facebook. But no, really, man, I was just like, this is crazy. It's like I wish I had that many forms. I wish I was rich. You know, then I wouldn't feel so bad about paying this kind of money.
Yeah, this Martin guy should be ashamed of himself.
But it seems like, I mean, he's saying if you can find anybody within 20 miles, you know what? To spend half of that, I'll go 37 miles. What are you, an idiot? I hope so. I'm glad to hear that from somebody else.
I mean, I went to a guy in New Rochelle, not even kidding, from my mother-in-law, New Rochelle, for years. Guy was charging me less than $650. Yeah, mine's probably a little more complicated, you know?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, for all that money you're hiding, those envelopes from John Gotti, I understand what's going on.
Well, the incoming wires from the Kurds. So, Bruce G., good to hear you. I'm enjoying the show. I love these road trips you're taking. Phenomenal.
Well, Eric, when the kids get older, I'll hopefully be in Aspen and or over in France or something, so. Right now, baby steps.
Did you stop at south of the border on your way to Florida?
I'm sorry?
South of the border? Did you drive to Florida last week?
Yeah, we were down in Orlando. I got some cousins down there, too, so I went to visit them. I'm a good family man.
I remember driving down to Florida when I was younger, and there was a sign for south of the border. It's like in South Carolina. You didn't? It doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah, south of the border was there. So, but yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was one of those things where I said, I'm finally going to do it. I've never did it as a kid. I didn't go anywhere. I think the furthest south I'd ever been was Paramus. But finally, I was like, let's just do it. And the kids enjoyed it. I was shocked. And the ride was half the fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great memories. All right, buddy. I'm going to go.
All right.
Enjoy the show.
Well, Eric, thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
No problem. And we'll talk soon.
I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, and don't forget, Matt Harvey's on the mound tonight. Maybe give a little props to the Mets.
Who's on tonight?
Matt Harvey's on the mound for the Mets. You're not even a Mets fan anymore.
Oh. You know what? You know what's so funny about this, very quickly, is that I got this new Verizon package where they gave me everything, and I was going down into the low channels, like the non-HD stuff, and they had SNY, and I'm like, oh, I can watch the Mets again. And yesterday they blacked it out. They blacked it out. But I did see it on the Major League Network there, but I got to check tonight to see if they black it out again. I thought I was in clover, but NG.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year. All right, bud. Be good.
Yeah, so good for the Mets there. We'll see. All right, Eric, I will talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Maybe I'll just do Stream of Consciousness Radio anytime. I mean, I get more callers now. People probably, what are you talking about, Maryland stuff? Who cares? Exactly. Hey, if I'm interesting enough to make people call, then I appreciate it. I really do. I'm humbled. Humbled that people would listen, take time out of their week to listen to this program and just listen to me rant and rave. I also want to tell the callers something as well. For some reason, when a lot of you guys drop in and out, so if there's a pause on my side, it's because I didn't hear you that clearly. So I just want to make that known. I got to figure that part out. Maybe I got to get rid of these Holly Hobbies headphones I got, get something real, but I'm not sure. Or maybe I got to get out of the basement. I'm like here with Dick Cheney and some cinder blocks, move upstairs and get a better reception. But when you call in, sometimes I don't hear it that clearly. So if I answered a question, I was guessing what you were saying in some of it. You guys sound like Chevy Chase in Spies Like Us. Well, what do you think about that? Hey, the phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. The program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger, and I'm here every Tuesday night talking about anything and everything. Anything and everything. But I was just glad to hear my friend there, Eric B. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Good guy. Moved to Westchester County as well, and we hung out for a while. He went to a different school. He was like one of those guys. It's like Seinfeld episode. It's like Seinfeld is like, I don't need any new friends, but especially at a certain age because I got my friends already. But he was one of those guys who I met after college, and we actually knew a couple people in common, and we just made jokes. We talked about things. We laid out on a beach at Fire Island with blankets over our head, pretending we were Kurds, making jokes. 1990. Hey, Seuss, that was a long time ago. Long time ago. So what else is going on here? I've covered pretty much all of my topics, which is quite all right. But there was something I read in the paper today. You're talking about Mark Rubio. I want to talk about politics for about 2 seconds here. There was an article, an opinion piece in the Washington Post, because that's what I do. I read the New York Post or the Washington Post. And it was on an editorial page. And it's talking about Mark Rubio formally entering the GOP presidential field on Monday from Miami. And the title, the headline, and sometimes the headlines can be different than the article itself or the opinion itself. But it says, a candidacy based on ideals. Will voters agree with Mr. Rubio that values Trump experience? Is that really a question? I mean, Mark Rubio is going on his fourth year in the Senate. You know, he's been elected. He was in the House down in Florida. Now he's going on his fourth year in Senate. Experience? I mean, please. Other than the 8 years he's going to complete, Obama had no experience for the White House. We talked about this a couple weeks ago about foreign affairs. You know, people talk about experience. Well, you know, it was an opportunity grab and more power to him. You know, we talked about Ted Cruz. This is an opportunity. I don't know if Ted Cruz is going to be as slick and as likable as an Obama to even get to get to the GOP final nod, which I don't think is going to happen because you're going to need a middle of the road guy. Because if you're going to get Republicans like me, you need a middle of the road guy. Call up AAA. No, but you're going to need a guy who's straight down the middle. might lean a little more right. That's cool. But can't be given into the Tea Party and all of the extremists on that side. But you also can't be also radicalized on the liberal side. I mean, it's just not the way I live. What's the matter with the middle? What happened to this country with the middle that no one wants it anymore? That's some compromise. Isn't that way smart people did it? Argued and compromised? Isn't that the way it was built? Or has it always been far right, far left? I mean, maybe things have been whitewashed and it's always been this way, but I don't believe so. We wouldn't have gotten anything done in this country. You could see it right now. You wouldn't have gotten anything done in this country without some bipartisanship, some deals, some, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back on some things. But make it for the good of the American people. I'll tell you, man, people with the NRA and I don't want to start beating up on the right wing. But the far right wing scares me. They are not who I am. You know, I went to school down south. I chewed tobacco for 12 years. I mean, I wore a baseball cap. I'm wearing one today that says Tractor Supply. Got a little redneck in me, too. You know, after going to Nashville and living in Atlanta for a long time. Got a little of that in me. But I'm a city guy as well. I mean, and I still have some problems with some social issues. We're not going to get into those right now. I mean, there's some things that I just think can't be, you know, snap of the fingers and Starbucks says it should be all right. So it's going to be all right the next day. I mean, I got some things here, but what we're talking about is Rubio. You know, he's got as much experience as Obama. Does he have the opportunistic ability? Does he speak as well? You know, don't give me this thing about, well, values trump experience. I mean, our president right now has no experience, not as an executive. You know, I mean, he's lost elections, which everyone has, no big deal. But he was a senator for, what, 2 years? And I mean, come on, with experience. I do think we need someone with experience now, especially in this world. You know, you can't go and be flimsy about things. You just can't. I don't know. But the bipartisanship, or the lack of it, the lack of the stuff for the people, you know, this is why I say in my old program, Nourishel News and Views, I used to say, step up to the mic because no one's going to say it for you. Do you think your elected leaders are saying it for you? Do you think the lobbyists are saying it for you? Do you think the people who were near Annapolis, near Albany, do you think Sheldon Silver was saying it for you? You know what he's saying now? What he's saying is, I'm not guilty. That's what he's saying. Harry Hogan, who knows? I can't wave a flag for him. I don't know him. Nobody really here knows him. I haven't lived in the state long enough. But do they have my best interest in mind? Maybe the best interest of the states in terms of paying down debt? Maybe, I guess. We'll see. But the loudest people are the ones who get rewarded. Be loud. Step up to the mic because no one's going to say it for you. Say what you have to say. Make sure you are being heard. Make sure you are being represented. Represent yourself. That's what we have to take away from this program tonight. Represent yourself. Because no one is going to say it for you. There's too many special interests in this world. The message gets muddled. Make sure your message is being heard. And speak for a group of people. Get a consensus. Be part of a group and make a march. The program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger. I'm here every Tuesday night, and I'll be here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. talking about issues that emanate from everywhere. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the phone callers. Lenny, Eric, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And keep listening. And if you can't catch us on the internet, you can definitely catch us not podcast, but on the archives on Blog Talk Radio. Just look up Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin. Hey, and do me a favor. Do something today that'll make you better tomorrow. I'll catch you next week.
trying to make it real compared to what. Don Dean, Leroy Benedict, Benny Bailey, Eddie Harris. I see you.